The American Story, Conversations with Master Historians. George Washington understood, better than others, that respect for the presidency would ultimately have little to do with titles and other formalities. He knew that public regard for the office would depend upon the conduct of the man who held it. He recognized that the eyes of the world were on him, and he worked constantly to promote the public interest, discourage partisanship, and avoid the slightest appearance of using his office for his private benefit or the benefit of friends and relatives. In this regard, as in many others, he was a revolutionary, though we don't always recognize it. Consider the familiar Gilbert Stuart portrait of Washington, in which Washington wears a simple black suit. Today, that kind of suit, or some variant, is the daily attire of most heads of state. But in 1789, when the world was ruled by kings and emperors wearing crowns and purple robes edged with ermine, Washington's dress was a revolutionary political statement. Washington's revolution is now so complete that we no longer see how revolutionary it was. That's from the first chapter of a delightful look at The American Story, a collection of essays, question and answers with leading historians of our time about leading Americans of our past. If you'd wondered what the folks we know of as the traditional leaders and shakers of the American story are like, by gaining a fuller and richer point of view, this is your book. The brainchild of David M. Rubenstein, the chairman of the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, chairman of the Smithsonian Institution, and chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, Rubenstein took it upon himself to converse with a number of well-respected historians about our American story. The result is this very readable, very interesting book. Over 16 chapters, we are able to glimpse a bit more about these famous Americans, of whom we've all heard, but I discovered, don't begin to know about the fascinating stories that made up their lives. A bit about those oh-so-American characters. Almost all of the guys discussed are guys. They're men. In one standout chapter, Cokie Roberts, she of NPR and ABC News fame, as well as quite the book author in her own right, offers insights into the minds and influences of the women in American history, drawing from her research into the lives of women from the pre-revolutionary period into the post-Civil War era over 100 years. Listen to this musing from Cokie Roberts about Abigail Adams' unique relationship with her husband, John Adams. He, of course, was the revolutionary political leader and second president of the new United States. Well, John and Abigail had an interesting relationship. Cokie Roberts gives us some insight. Question. What I'm also struck by in that period is that the women who married very, very young, the men were often older, and that they seemed to have children every year, and the children, as you point out, died a lot. Can you talk about that experience, Cokie Roberts? It's really striking how much death you were dealing with all of this time. Just a normal week could take a 6-year-old and your 10-year-old because typhoid fever would come through. Living in the 18th and early 19th centuries was tough. Just getting through the day was tough. Even if you were elite, it was a very difficult life. That's one of the reasons I admire these women so much. You're right. The men would come home long enough for the women to get pregnant. They were having babies, losing babies, raising babies, taking care of old people, all of that. But still, they were such devoted patriots. It's just incredible. Yes, most of the personalities and struggles related in this book are about men, which makes Cokie Roberts' chapter stand out even more. So no, The American Story is anything but an encyclopedic review of the multifaceted world we know as America. But for all of its obvious limits, The American Story certainly does take us more deeply into the lives of those Americans we can all recognize immediately. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, FDR, Dwight Eisenhower, John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and Martin Luther King. appearances by Charles Lindbergh and the Supreme Court through an interview with Chief Justice John Roberts seem odd choices for the other characters of the American story, but they are here too. So many stories here, so many American stories, so many interesting stories. Because of the Q&A format of our interlocutor, Rubenstein can and does pose questions of scholars who know the American personalities we're reading about. These scholars have studied these men and women and the American history they helped shape for years, often decades. So we get to see the quirks, the interests, the little-known anecdotes that bring these all too often heroic and near godlike personalities back to Earth, back to the real world in which they lived and worked to create the nation we know today. Who are these historians? Well, Taylor Branch draws from decades of research to discuss Martin Luther King. Ron Chernow, author of a best-selling book on Alexander Hamilton, of all people, reflects on the now-renewed fame of that American revolutionary leader whose life is now interpreted on Broadway. Robert Caro talks with Rubenstein about Lyndon Johnson, drawing upon his in-depth, decades-long research into the Texas politician, U.S. president's life and career. The historians interviewed are not only deeply steeped in their subjects' lives and work, however, they are often well known by the public as well. They're public intellectuals in the best sense of the term. And so it is that we find the aforementioned Cokie Roberts, Taylor Branch, Ron Chernow, Robert Caro. Add to that list Doris Kearns Goodwin writing about Lincoln, John Meacham with Thomas Jefferson, Bob Woodward with Richard Nixon, and Richard Reeves with John Kennedy, to mention but a few more, and you get a better sense of the intellectual depth we read among these pages. Finally, let me hasten to add that The American Story is a very readable book. These historians have honed their writing skills as well as their research skills. Each of them has written plenty of reader-friendly essays and full-length books, not to mention innumerable television appearances by a number of them. They seem to know intuitively how to present their work in a compelling way that makes us enjoy turning these pages. Now, we all know that The American Story is a story of progress. A story with glorious high points and too many low decades. And so the American story lays out so much of that story for us and leads us to ask about so much more. Hardly the be-all and end-all tale of America, the American story is a good place to start. Let's conclude our review with a bit from Taylor Branch's discussion of Martin Luther King Jr. At one point in this chapter, David Rubenstein asks, "Was nonviolence a very popular approach at the time?" And he's referring to the 1960s here. Taylor Branch responds, "No, it was not popular. First of all, it was scary, because it meant you're willing to accept violence. But King said, after the Freedom Rides of 1961, quote, if you look at the basis of American democracy after the Revolution, it was self-government. Madison said all our political experiments rest on the capacity of mankind for self-government and public trust. Without virtue in the people, no form of government can secure liberty. He further said, nobody exemplifies that better than a disciplined freedom rider, looking at somebody who's about to hit him in the face and saying, we may not make a connection, but our children will, because of what we're doing here today." End quote. King thought that this kind of nonviolence was the essence of patriotism in the American tradition from the Revolution forward, and that our successes are the advances of nonviolence to make votes count, and that we take them too much for granted and get seduced into measuring democracy by lapses into violence. They continue to discuss for several more pages. Taylor Branch ends with this. "The best way I know to talk about how Martin Luther King did it was that he consistently put one foot in the scriptures and one foot in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in a balanced way that invited people to understand the mission for equal citizenship, either in secular terms or spiritual terms. They could take their choice. He didn't try to subdue one with the other. It was the gift of his rhetoric that made it seem both religiously and spiritually inspiring and patriotic in a way that people couldn't resist. It's that patriotism that we've really lost today. It made him a leader for all of us, not just for black people trying to get rights about quaint things that no longer apply. It's about the future, not about the past. The American Story, Conversations with Master Historians, Q&A from David M. Rubenstein. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, and you can ask for it through curbside delivery if you'd like, including at the West Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for listening.